Well, welcome everyone to another episode of WA This Week. A topic that we've talked about a lot over the podcasts is the issue of ambulance ramping, and unfortunately that continues to be a major problem, seeing record ambulance ramping. And don't think I need to tell you, but you know, we've got levels that are four or five times the longest ambulance ramping hours you ever saw under a coalition government. Labor Party described as a crisis, and yet we've had this government try to say that, well, you know, variously, this isn't a crisis, it's just, you know, something that happens, through to, well, it's everyone else's fault because we've got that ambulance ramping. But, you know, they've been in government now for over 5 years, and every year this has got worse under their stewardship of the state. Today we see them come out, or at least this week we saw them come out and announce a grand announcement. They're going to spend $200 million to help fix this problem. Now, we know in any case that that is a completely inadequate amount of money to deal with the issue that Labor's created. They haven't simply kept up with the demand for hospital beds that we require. They've tried to pretend this is COVID. We know it's essentially nothing to do with COVID. COVID patients are a very small fraction of the total patient load in the hospitals. We should have had another major hospital built in the state already, and they should be planning another one. Instead, we see the government tinkering around the corners with packages such as the one they've announced this week. But let's go a little bit into this detail. And look, I encourage you, Ben Harvey's got a program he runs, a podcast, it's called Up Late. Encourage you to have a look at his podcast on this, because he does a really excellent job of analysing this situation. So their solution, amongst a few other things, to deal with ambulance ramping is that they're going to put a qualified nurse in every emergency department so that they can somehow perhaps triage or deal with these patients, you know, immediately and provide support. Now, as Ben Harvey outlined, I thought, very well, you know, this is just farcical. They cannot get the nursing staff they need because they are simply not available. So what are they going to do? They're going to take nurses out of the hospitals. So talk about robbing Peter to pay Paul. They are simply going to take already massively overworked nurses out of a hospital environment and put their colleagues under even more pressure and then put that person out in the emergency department. They're going to be utterly unable to make any material difference. It's simply going to make the situation in the hospitals worse. But this is what you have, what you get when you've got a health minister on their learner plates, you know, and I find it absolutely fascinating. This is the person, I hear this constantly from the Labor Party, that is being promoted as the next premier of the state. Amber Jade Sanderson is the nominated heir apparent by the left faction to replace Mark McGowan in Parliament. You know, what a farce. You've got someone who has gone from bad to worse. I mean, we thought things were bad under Roger Cook. They've just gone to worse under this this new trainee health minister. And unfortunately, it's the public of Western Australia and sick people in Western Australia that are paying the price, you know, for her incompetence in this role. You know, $200 million won't fix this problem. We urgently need a massive influx of trained nurses into the state, and doctors for that matter, to help resolve this issue. And we should have had another major hospital already. We need another major hospital in the next handful of years. Otherwise, we're going to see real hardship for patients and people who need medical treatment in our hospitals in WA. Another area, and I know all of you will be feeling this, I don't think there's a household that is immune from this, are the massive cost of living pressures. And, you know, I sort of find it fascinating. We have a state Labor government that it likes to sort of, you know, any problem is someone else's fault. They're only responsible for the good things, the nice things that happen, but anything else that goes wrong is the fault of someone else. And Interestingly, we saw Anthony Albanese come to the state. You know, he gave a scathing criticism of cost of living increases in Western Australia. But of course, that criticism was actually of his Labor colleague, Mark McGowan, and his so-called team. I mean, what Albanese pointed out was that no state in Australia has suffered the cost of living increases that Western Australia suffered. And why is that? Because we've got a state Labor government that actually doesn't care about cost of living increases. You know, every so often they come along, before the election they came along, which was purely an election bribe, and gave people a $600 refund on their electricity charges. Meanwhile, we've seen the most massive increase in electricity charges under this state Labor government, and they've been cynical about it. You know, they believe they're untouchable electorally, they've got a massive majority, they can do what they like. And so we've seen these enormous increases in all of the utility costs around the state. You know, and that's Mark McGowan as the Premier, and he's the Treasurer now. He's the person responsible for this. You know, Anthony Albanese's criticism of the federal government, I believe, completely backfired, because his real criticism, the person that's really responsible for the massive increases in cost of living in Western Australia, is Mark McGowan. And, you know, in no more area than the lack of skilled labour. Now, this is a genuine crisis. I've spoken about this a few times, or at least touched on it a few times. The single largest structural issue facing the state of Western Australia is that we do not have the people in the state we need to do the work that has to be done. I've been told by the one of the major industry, building industry representative groups, that one third of all apartment projects are on hold because they cannot find a builder, because those builders cannot find workers. And it's not just skilled workers, it's the semi-skilled or the unskilled workers that are needed to support those that industry and other industries. And you know, this comes directly at the feet, or this problem comes directly at the feet of the McGowan Labor government. You know, I ask you to cast your mind back over the last 2 years during this pandemic period. There was an issue that, and we alerted the government to this. It was fine playing the game of politics on the hard border, and Mark McGowan being the strong man, you know, against COVID and so on, and shutting the state down. But I said at the time, and the Alliance members said at the time, look, yes, we don't want to see general migration into the state. It's clearly in the face of a pandemic, you need to have restrictions. And of course, the federal government was one of the first countries in the world to move with external border restrictions. But let's make sure we bring the critical workforce into the state that we rely on. Western Australia has always, and will for some time, rely on a steady stream of skilled and unskilled labour into the state. Backpackers doing seasonal work in horticulture and agriculture and the like. But across all of the industries, I just hear now stories from every industry person I speak to now is saying that the single biggest issue they face is labour. And we had a Labor government. We had the most severe restrictions based on the advice of the Premier, or in fact the direction of the Premier, the most severe restrictions on immigration from overseas of any state in Australia. But of course also we had effectively shut off any migration or people travelling from interstate as well into Western Australia. Well, guess what? Now we've got a situation where we don't have the people we need to do the work. We don't have the workforce in our hospitals. Doctors, nurses, physios, other critical medical professionals aren't here in sufficient number. But if you go to the building industry, we don't have the skilled workers, but we don't have the unskilled workers. And this affects every area of the state, the major miners, people that are trying to get new lithium projects off the ground, you know, a key renewable area. They can't start their project because there aren't the people to work and to actually construct these new plants. You know, this was a problem that was entirely predictable. We warned the government that this would cause major problems for the economy of Western Australia, and that is the case now. So, you know, and what are the government doing about it? You know, they love coming out and saying they've, you know, allocated so many dollars here and there. The Premier needs to do the work with the federal government and come up with unique solutions to get people into the state. You know, one of the centrepieces of the government's budget has to be how they are dealing with the labour shortage in Western Australia, which is harming us everywhere from hospitals to the building sector. Another area which perhaps isn't topical for most people, but I thought it's an insight into the way the Labor government works in this state and the way they disregard the needs of industry. Last week, I spent 3 days down in the Manjimup area and surrounding areas talking to farmers who are deeply concerned about what the state government plans to do in relation to their existing water licences, but also some future changes that are proposed to water laws, the bills, or at least the acts that relate to management of water in relation to farming in particular. What we've seen is a government that they've come in with this heavy-handed approach, a threatening approach to farmers. Farmers feel utterly intimidated by heavy-handed inspectors coming out and threatening their capacity to utilise the water on their farm. And, you know, in government, if you're a minister and you know, the senior government officials, they need to look at the whole situation down there. There you've got an industry. Farming in Manjimup only occupies 15% of the total area. In the Shire of Manjimup, 85% of the area is occupied by forest. So the ability for farmers to impact the environment is almost infinitesimal. It may sort of sound like a funny way of putting it, but overwhelmingly the largest water user in the Shire of Manjimup is in fact the forests. Farmers use a very small portion of the water, the rain that falls on that area. And farmers, I think, quite reasonably say, we don't want to take water from the rivers and the streams. We don't want to take the water out of that's come from the forest, if you like, although not much water does come from a forest. It's a big user of water. They just want to be able to use the water that is on their land and that falls on their land. So whether it's a spring or whether it's capturing rainfall, and the Department of Water increasingly is making that impossible. Now, I guess some of you go down there, but it is just when you go down there, the capacity of these farmers to generate income and jobs. I mean, they provide thousands, employment for thousands of people. They're bringing in tens of millions of dollars, or actually hundreds of millions of dollars into our state with really sustainable, high quality food production. And you've got a heavy-handed approach by government. It's threatening, it's bullying. The farmers, these are, big, tough farmers, and they feel completely intimidated and bullied by the way government's doing it. But the other thing is they feel utterly dismayed that the government is refusing to engage with them, refusing to consult with them, refusing to listen to what I believe are very reasonable positions that they're trying to take on their ability to use water on their land. And, this is something we see. We've got a water minister, Dave Kelly, and we've got a government. They're interested in glossy press releases. They're interested in glitzy, statements and having lots of cameras around and lights and people. But when it comes to dealing with people decently, when it comes to sensitively and sensibly dealing with issues that affect the economy of the state, they're missing in action. They're driven by ideology, not by logic and reason. And that's a big worry. And look, I won't go on. This affects other industries as well. But I just thought it was a little vignette, if you like, of how this government works. They don't care about those farmers down there. They don't care about how they're treated. They just care about, making some sort of virtue signalling statements in Perth and believe that'll get them back into government. Look, thanks very much for listening and/or watching. And just to remind you, you can obtain this as a podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or Stitcher. Or wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, you can see the video. If you just look up Dr. David Honey on Facebook, you'll find the video on that. Thanks very much for watching. Really grateful for that. As I say always, please give us your feedback. We really, really love your feedback, and we get really good feedback from people and suggestions. about topics we should talk about or comments on what's been said, always grateful to receive that. Thank you very much.